Almighty and Eternal Father, again we thank Thee for the assurance of Thy abiding presence. Where we are gathered together to worship You in spirit and in truth, Thy presence is here to catalyze with spirit and vision and with blessing Thy people. Throughout the course of all time and throughout all ages, Thy abiding presence remains with us, that You would never leave us nor forsake us even to the end of this age. We are thankful as we move through these climactic events of the end of an age, we have the vision and the assurance of a new order and a new age that shall emerge out of Thy household, out of its victories and out of its reigning order in the earth, as Thy kingdom is established forever. We are thankful also for all the covenants which You have made with us of sustaining power, of Thy protecting, guiding hand, of the initiative and vision which You raise up among Thy people upon Thy household. We pray for the great nations of Thy kingdom today, the great nations of Western Christian civilization, and the great peoples that You have established in the earth to accomplish Thy purpose. We pray, our Father, for the spiritual center of Thy kingdom, Thy church, that the true church emerging might bear a full article of truth, and that Thy people shall leave all the false establishments of ecclesiastical era, and shall lift up Thy standards for a great victory of one faith, one Lord, and one baptism in this climactic hour, repudiating all the patterns of darkness and all the assistance which is being given out to the areas of darkness to try to establish a brotherhood of religions that moves with the darkness. May there be a great new establishing standard of truth to which all Christians can repair. We pray, our Father, for the binding of all evil, the loosing of the mighty power of Thy presence, and the light of Thy vision. As we survey the things that are transpiring in the earth, grant unto us understanding through the relationship of event and to conditions and times in which we live. Teach us to walk with vision and with faith and without fear. We say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. Before we go into the fullness of our subject tonight, for there is no question about the significance of the hour in which we live, we're going to establish for you rather clearly that we are at the end of an age. But when we talk about the end of an age, it is not merely the measurement of time that is involved. It is not the discussion of how many years between one given event and another have taken place. Some people think that the measurement of an age is dependent upon how many days or years exist in cycles. And there are measurements and cycles that do pertain to years because God has sought to make this clear. But generally, age ends relate to great, tremendous, and unusual events in the history of a planet. And this also is true of this one. Among these signs of an age end, of course, is the great, tremendous cataclysms that have taken place. This world has gone through many of these experiences. There have been four or five major catastrophes. There is the evidence of four great catastrophes, and one that was not considered too light a catastrophe that took place some 34 centuries ago. So we point out to you that there have been great things and great impact upon the earth. Such types of catastrophe mark not only the end of an age, sometimes of a civilization and a culture. Sometimes whole areas of the earth are inundated by the size of catastrophe. But there is a build-up pattern that is involved in this. Largely, these forces that are built up are largely related to human emotions and intense areas of tension. In fact, whether people realize it or not, the catalyst of the tremendous areas of mental energy, of tension, and the relationship of men to the pressures that are upon the face of the earth have more to do than you may realize with sequences of events. There is no doubt that the Most High God also utilizes all the power which He may wish to control with all the areas of directivity to sometimes purge whole areas of the earth or to make transitions in the surface of planets which are in this process of going through change. The reason for almost all of these catastrophes and changes are on the basis of the way things are put together and violations of divine law, the violations of the law of form and of substance, whether it be chemical or whether it be in the areas of the balance of forces and energies that can even move into geological change or move into nuclear catastrophe. While we are talking about great changes, I might point out to you that this world has, in two previous eras, been swept by tremendous nuclear catastrophe that involved atomic explosions, wave upon wave, that was a partly a related effect to sinking continents and submerged areas of the earth. And we may point to the western coast of Africa. We may point to the islands of the sea like Easter Island and several of the other high remaining areas of the Pacific Ocean to show that the nuclear fission that took place with substances upon the surface of its beaches have produced a substance like trinitite, the green, somewhat glassy-like substance of fused atomic sand that took place at Algamargo in our first nuclear experiments. The fact that these isotopes that were created had no relationship originally to nuclear substances is quite obvious, though even though there have been millenniums of time going by, they have not yet dissipated their radioactivity to demonstrate that their formation was the result of great and unusual nuclear explosions. Now, what we are talking about is in no way fear of the dissolving of elements in fervent heat, nor are we telling you tonight that you should cease all areas of protection or testing on the basis of great catastrophes that have happened in the past. But I am discussing these as partly related to tremendous events that have taken place in relationship to your past history. That greater power at the fingertips of God have been used in balancing off and reconstructing and changing areas of the earth than have ever been made by man or by fallen archangels in their battles of struggle and in their periods of war. We point out to you that the history of the earth is one that goes back into antiquity beyond that which the average individual with his Bible training has been taught to believe. This is not because there's error in the historical record, but there's been error in the interpretation. The eras in the ages of reconstruction had nothing to do with the original formation of this globe out of this portion of the solar system and in the cosmic order of which it is a part. For in the scriptures it tells us in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it did not set a date or a time for its origin. And since one great major catastrophe of the patterns of antiquity, we know that there's 1,750,000 years of history in which there have been people upon the face of the earth that walked upright, that painted ceramics, that and even had some reason or other in their background of existence for making weapons and forming them in the shape of spears and arrowheads, but not as primitive as you might think, because we even have evidences of metallurgy that reach back 1,750,000 years ago in the Ovale deposits of South Africa. We have the established new processes of the measurement of antiquity and time, the utilization of radiocarbon and the measurement of the dissipation of these energies from all living substances whose carbon content has a given rate which we understand for the dispersion of its power. We may be able to measure the antiquity of any substance that we find that ever had life in it, whether it be bone or wood or how deeply buried or enmeshed in the earth. It does not change this rate with which these energies are dispelled, whether it was 100 years old or whether it had only existed for a matter of one season. Also, we have now new areas of dispersions of energy that are outside of the carbon class, but still demonstrate the impact of energy upon these areas of substance. We have new chemical measures by which we may determine in the delineation of time their antiquity from the way they were formed, the time they were set up. We have exact patterns of measure concerning how long it takes in various types of substance for fluorine replacement out of the earth to replace these areas of material that were once alive. Thus it is, we also have given periods of measure concerning sedimentary processes, the layer upon layer that took place in the interludes between catastrophes of the great alluvial fans, the deposits that came in the normal processes of the years. We have many places on the earth where there's 250 and 300,000 years of sedimentary deposits that are visible to the human eye that can be counted. We can show you in the Grand Canyon over 270,000 years of seed time and harvest that are laid strata upon strata, which a minute observation will show the particles embedded in the solid stone, where each year as the seeds came off of the trees and were washed into the alluvial and became a part of that layer in the rocks, the seed time and harvest have laid its score for over a quarter of a million years. So when we deal with antiquity, we are no longer thinking or looking upon what man once thought was 6,000 years of history and 6 days previous to this were a creation with a seventh of rest. Thus man had the concept, because of the translation that was given to us in Dewey and King James versions, that these represented 24-hour days. But of course these were areas and eras of a recreation, and they had no relationship to the antiquity of the earth, which was created by the Most High in the beginning according to plan and according to his design. The catastrophes that were involved in this tremendous upheaval in the universe of the Luciferian rebellion against God did not in any way upset the purpose of the plan of God. did not eliminate the prerogative of God to put things in order, nor the suppression of the powers of darkness. We point out with you that in this earth, which was one of the areas in which would involve the patterns of struggle, that we were early seized in the vertex of these patterns of upheaval. Though the actual and final defeat of Lucifer and his final incarceration in earth's areas reached back to a period some 75,000 years ago, the pattern of measure can clearly be established because in the history of antiquity, the Sumerian dynasties, the Shetapot dynasties that go back into the ancient Torah, whose 600,000 years of consecutive migrations, camps, and whose artifacts are found from the highest steppes of Asia across the Appalachians as well as the Alps and the Carpathians and down into Mesopotamia and even into the areas of Africa, tell also their story. In fact, the Sumerians tell the exact hours of defeat when Luciferian craft were brought to earth. They also tell the exact time when Negroes were first found in the earth. They tell about how they were different than other people, and they give their classification, and it fits right in with Job's evaluation, too, that this is the lowest strata of society that ever hit the earth, as he tells you in the 30th chapter of the book of Job. We point out to you that in the patterns of the designation of the things that had transpired, the first burial of Negroes took place in the caves of Kilimanjaro, and radiocarbon shows today that those Negro skeletons and fossils laid away in those tombs were buried there 73,000 years before Christ. So you have a little bit of the evidence of the patterns of time. Now, the cycles that have affected the earth have been sometimes tremendous because of its impact. There were great land bridges that connected continents. There were continents that stand where oceans now are washing the tops of mountains far beneath the ocean surfaces. The Atlantic Ocean covers over not only a great subcontinent that existed partway up into the heart of North America and Central Europe by evaluation level horizontally at latitude and extended almost to what we know as the tip of South America. It existed leaving water masses between it in some areas between South America and Africa and North America and Europe. However, the submergence of this continent and its final descent beneath the waters of the Atlantic are recorded in a measure of time history of about 11,000 years ago. And just as few areas like the Azores still stick up out of the waters to mark where once there existed a great continent. It was involved in violations of divine law. The writings of the ancient Egyptians tell about how it was related to the worship of this defeated god that came from outer space, who sought the mongrelization, the integration of peoples, the mixing of Negroes that they referred to as beasts with the peoples of earth, and the intermixture of all of the species of earth, and even sought to mix animals with man in order to set up a satanic religion in opposition to God in a design to mutate the laws of God and the institutions of divine order. I point out to you that Satan never creates, he always destroys, he mutates and wishes to change, but in no instance wishes to respect divine law. However, we point out that these patterns of history are related in Sumerian documents and records, of which the British Museum today has a great number, in which the late Dr. Budge was a foremost translator in the patterns of these records of antiquity. Today, as we are watching the new areas of archaeology, coring deep into areas and stratas to unearth the evidences of civilizations that make the mounds of Mesopotamia become as though they were young finds as compared to the antiquity with which we find the artifacts of ancient Sumerian and Torog society. Now, when we talk about the white man, we're talking about something distinct and different. As far as your race is concerned, there is no record of your race existing upon the earth prior to this period of 7,400 years ago. 5,400 years before Christ, the Adamic race was driven out of the Edenic condition because of violations of law, of racial law, and of divine law which God had ordained. They had violated divine law in participating in their contact with the racial trees which it had experienced with rebellion and evil. A new race just placed on the earth, offspring of God, violating divine law. And in this instance, they lost spiritual power, which had belonged to them, and they lost an area of immunity physically that made them subject to disease and transgression because they ceased to be protected, and thus they lost their immortality because of their ability now to be attacked by germs and viruses and disease, which were mutations in the natural field by Lucifer. As the great patriarch Enoch was shown, that by mixing and by fusing cultures of protozoa and bacteria, viruses had been created by the wizards of Lucifer, and thus sickness and disease were not the creation of God, but they were the mutation of Lucifer to which living substances were not adapted to protect themselves. And so we point out that the forces of darkness continue to mutate. The power of God's program is building and constructing, and the nations of His kingdom have civilization and culture. The powers of darkness teach revolution and subversion, and they seek to disintegrate this in social order, even as they seek to mutate your race and your species in their design for political mastery. Today, the great struggle for the earth is a struggle to preserve your kind and to carry out its objectives. The design today is to mongrelize your race, integrate it, lower its capacities, reduce its inability to resist, and then also to capture your areas of government, mutating them, and you lose your freedom and you lose your leadership. Now the attempted processes have become, in the areas of design by Lucifer, such an abomination that whole areas of the earth have been subject to direct chastisement, but so skillfully maneuvered and so carefully measured that at no time did all the earth suffer the catastrophe, nor at any time was the society or civilization of earth totally wiped out. There have been some unusual developments that have taken place in the past. The reason I point these out are to show you your relationship to these moving packlings of events. Every once in a while, someone said, all things continue as they have been since the beginning, but this is not so. The scripture said there would be people that would talk like that. Because in the lifetime of your nation, there has not existed in the upheavals of the earth any great, tremendous upheaval that wiped out a whole area of the earth. Why, there are a great number of people that think that things like this just can't happen. They forget that in the days of the Lewis and Clark expedition, a mountain range finally disappeared across the heart of the North American continent, and some of the hills that the Lewis Clark expedition crossed going west were not there when they returned. More than this, Indians told them about what had happened in the previous century and told them about the disappearance of whole mountain ranges and thought this was because of the anger of the Great Spirit. And the Lewis and Clark expedition, they recorded the disappearance of certain hills, and they thought that there must have been tremendous earthquake and great catastrophe, for while there had been some tremors while they were there, it was after they had crossed and proceeded west that some of this catastrophe took place, even in the areas south of the Great Lakes. So you see, we are in conditions of change. A great earthquake not so long ago moved in the subterranean field, and the result was that it reached all the way from the Great Lakes region down into Oklahoma City. And underneath the ground is a mountain range which has disappeared beneath the plains, and this mountain range extends from down in Oklahoma all the way to the Great Lakes, and the movement was this old mountain moving underneath the soil that caused that earthquake. So again, there are many things of great interest. The knowledge today of modern meteorology and seismology knows that this great plastic globe that we live upon gives and moves in its pressure according to the electromagnetic flows of force and the great areas of exerted pressure and balance in our solar system. This great plastic globe we live upon is not solid. We conceive of it as round, though it's definitely spheroid. The pattern remains that in the areas of its circumference, it has within it certain cracks in its surface. These cracks are not always open cracks, but they are the differences of formation into which molten materials have sometimes filled these crevices. Other areas are shear zones of rock. These we call faults. These cracks go deep into the earth. If there's any pressure upon the earth's surface, or there is any withdrawal of pressure, so that there's any change whatsoever due to the relationship of the great masses of matter in our solar system in relation to this, this globe gives or takes, moves ever so slightly. In fact, when you consider the area of the earth, and you consider also its diameter and circumference, these thousands of miles seem as though it would take a lot of pressure to make any impact. But it only takes the tiniest fraction of a degree of movement, and that means quite a few feet in motion. The greatest earthquake that you've had, as far as damage was concerned in the Western Hemisphere, was the one, of course, that shook down San Francisco. But in that period of time, back in the early 1900s, 1906, when this earthquake occurred, the movement was only 26 feet. Now you break up fractions of a degree by the relationship of the circumference of the earth, and 26 feet is an infinitesimal unit of pressure. At the same time, tiny units of pressure caused by the alignment of these planetary masses as it affects the Earth's surface can move with only a few feet of movement. And it depends upon the quickness with which the given crack areas give where the pressure is applied. These alignments rotate in areas around the Earth. Actually, however, there are areas of what we call preservation. There seems to be areas of balance when, by all patterns of normalcy, there might have been some movement. We refer to these as relaxed periods, and faults don't move, and things continue. over centuries and periods of time. Sometimes we have what we call the placid periods. All strains have been released. All balances seem to be perfect. But we move into areas which seem also sometimes to be directly related to conditions and situations on the earth. And when we move into these situations, the earth begins to move. The fault tensions begin to shift and move at every pattern of alignment, at every change of pressure in the universe. And the Most High God may be bringing into play what you do not realize may be masses of substance and areas of force in matter that create a field of pressure of electromagnetic pulls and pushes of force that change the relationship of the pressure patterns to the moving planet, and the result is that these alignments give along fault lines. Now I can tell you there's some things which we'll show to you tonight that show that we are in relationship to great geological and physical changes in the earth, that it's in no way is to create fear in you, because 1,000 can fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, and the Most High God says no harm will come nigh thee. Also, he's pointed out in this day of communism and socialism and Asiatic forces of evil, Jew-led throughout the world for the destruction of Christian civilization, that the powers of God will fight upon your side. You're told the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation that this great nation, the outstretched wings of the eagle, shall give its leadership to the great nations of God's kingdom, to your race, and to the great household of this Adamic race, and to this people that God calls his household and his kingdom. We have the commandments of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are Christian civilization, and we are the adversary to the forces of communism and world antichrist. It is against you these forces move, and the scripture tells you that in these hours of conflict, in these times of the nuclear explosions which are to be directed against you, God said in that hour the very earth is going to swallow up, opening up its maw, swallowing up the forces of the enemy and their invasions and their catastrophes like a water of a flood being swallowed up in a crack. So it is the scripture talks about divine intervention of the earth fighting for the peoples of God's kingdom. Someone said, well, you really believe this? I believe this because it's happened before. As we've talked about the hand of God in meteorite showers that destroyed the ancient Canaanites and their assault in the days of Joshua, and in the days when he moved in to retake this great area of land that had been once taken from the forebearers of your race by Canaanites with conspiratorial evil, and now out of Egypt and through the wilderness and under Joshua, God protected them with meteorite showers that exterminated an enemy army and called the shots with accuracy, even though the instructions for this hour had been laid out prematurely for this situation. Now we point out to you that in the course of divine measure, a great number of situations have taken place. Some think that all things are as they were in the beginning. They may have read in the book of Isaiah, the day will come when the lion and the lamb will lay down together. But normally, my friends, the lion and the lamb don't pasture in the same country. But if you think there haven't been any changes, let me tell you that there have been great ones. Over in England, we have great numbers of caves along the Thames River and in various parts of Britain. Now, I happen to have noted here in one scientific discourse that has been dealing with the antiquities of things that have transpired, that there are certain impossible things that, as far as the lamb and the lion are concerned, are considered to be almost elemental. For over in Kirkdale in England, in a cave found there by Streambed, they discovered that inside were the bones of hippopotami, of reindeer, and bison, and lemming, and grizzly bear. Now, when over in South Wales, they also found reindeer and grizzly bear, and cave lion and hyena all dwelling together. In other words, these bones were found in these caves from a catastrophe that had enveloped this portion of the earth and had caught these animals and creatures, and their bones were interred together, not disintegrated, not decayed. Radiocarbon capabilities of measure demonstrating that this transpired in a period within 8,000 to 9,000 years. In fact, we have over this scattered period an exactness of measure in radiocarbon to show that some of the bones were scattered a few centuries apart from others, and that the oldest bones in here were laid in, hippopotami bones that were laid in here, and the hippopotamuses were buried in this situation at a period of 11,000 years ago. However, while working through the caves in Wales and in South, they discovered a great area of catastrophe 14,000 years ago. And again, here we discover animals that would not be normally ranging together buried in the same catastrophe, and demonstrating that what had transpired had been of significant impact and force, that great masses of water and moving masses had moved like a sheer force and had moved across whole continents and jamming and cramming together areas of substance and life that would not be living in the same environment or temperatures, and buried them together. Now we point out that this wasn't too far back, but at the same time there are civilizations that have lived through it, civilizations that talked about the great catastrophes that happened in the north of them, and situations that affected whole masses of the water sweeping the earth. When the ancient Sumerians talked about how the oceans swept over the land and climbed over the mountains, they were talking about a catastrophe which caused water to leave the very bottoms of oceans, sweep out across the islands of the sea, move across areas of the massive continent of Europe, and climb the mountains by the sheer force with which it sloshed. And this also might explain the fact that they talked about how the earth rocked to and fro, and upon the periods of its rocking to and fro, a great sword of Murdoch passed through the sky. Murdoch is the Sumerian concept of the eternal God. The sword of the Lord is not only referred to inside of the scriptures, but it's referred to in the ancient Sumerian documents. Generally speaking, the sword of the Lord was a description given to a vast comet, its great sigh-like tail sweeping through space, and its astronomical patterns of balance and imbalance actually even affecting the surface of the earth itself. In the book of Isaiah, we point out to you that one of these measures of an age end is referred to in the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah, when he said, "Behold, the Lord made a portion of the earth empty, he made it waste, he turned it upside down, and he scattered abroad all the inhabitants thereof." Now I'm going to tell you, whenever the earth turned upside down, that there was a great sloshing of oceans, a great moving of substance. Someone said, "How did it happen?" It came because of astronomical impact of a great force which by a passing comet came so close to the earth that it slowed us down in the areas of our rotation and pulled the earth completely around in its position until the mountains that found themselves rotating in opposite directions. Well, what had been the North Pole was now the South Pole as it rotated to an opposite direction, because what was the west side became the east side in its rotation. And we can prove that by the astronomical drift which we find of comet tails, substance, and debris always on the eastern side of mountains rotating into the sun. Now on western sides of the mountains of today, we discover that what now is the west side of the mountain ranges that we still have was once the east side. This is also true in the Himalayas, though under processes of transition, the Himalaya mountains went higher and higher, and the Andes mountains increased their height, their last great uplift being 11,000 years ago, at which time the final uplift of the High Sierras took place, which also was lifted and moved by these changes of mass of Earth's surface by astronomical bodies. But the thing I want you to know tonight, that the balance and the contender and the force is in the hands of divine directivity. It was not by accident. It was scientifically ascertained. Geologists, astronomers, and experts in the areas of the fossilology of Earth can prove this is so. I can prove that the waters must have moved and shifted intensely at one time. I know areas in Kern County where you can go today and you can take a prospect pick and dig into masses of sea life and come away with a handful of petrified shark's teeth. You can pick up shark's teeth where sharks must have been destroyed by the thousands to leave so many of them in masses in archaeological and geological deposit here in this fossil field. We also can find that unprecedented amounts of sea life were deposited in areas behind mountain ranges where they were carried over by great catastrophe. It was not so long ago that up in Alaska, there was an experience that is in the history of some of our Alaskan settlers, in which there was some upheaval that took place in the Bay of Alaska, and the waters that hit this portion of the coast went over a mountain peak or a hill that was 1,100 feet higher than the water surface. Now, a wave that in modern time went over 1,100-foot mountain was impelled by an earthquake that took place out under the waters in a fault that was shifting in the Bay of Alaska. Now, this is historic. It didn't affect the whole area. It didn't move into all of the northern waters, but it was quite an earthquake, and it did affect this area, and lives were lost, and property was swept over the mountain and dropped into landlocked valleys where no salt water had ever existed before. This, my friends, within the last 15 years. So we show you that there can be tremendous forces set in motion when activities like this are related to the great upheavals that move in the earth. But in the sophistication of man, so busy about many of his affairs, he doesn't realize that the earth is vitally a part of the universe, which is in the hands of the Most High, who can balance this force. Among these catastrophes that enveloped the earth in the days when intense patterns of mongrelization were seeking to wipe out and destroy society, and the Most High ordained that he was going to stop even at that time the great scourge. Better to scatter upon the earth with destruction some of these mongrelizing forces of darkness than to have permitted the catastrophe continue. Under its process, the earth caught and seized in this great astronomical force was turned completely upside down. In other words, it reversed itself. It was pulled completely around so that as it continued to roll on its axis, that it rolled into the east. The book of Isaiah here in the 24th chapter tells about this catastrophe. And as it was with the people, so it was with their priests and with their servants, and so it was with the maids, with the buyers and the lenders and the borrowers and all of these things, including even takers of usury. So you see, Lucifer had been here and some of his children were already in business in that ancient world. Don't think the Jews came from Abraham. There were Jews here before Adam, and God drowned a whole lot of them. Therefore, the earth has been defiled because of the inhabitants, because they transgressed the laws. Therefore, God changed the ordinance of the heavens, and he broke upon them his judgments. So there's some people say, I don't like that. What does it make difference to me? Whether you like it, I'm merely giving you some historical fact that geologically established and historically established. This has transpired in the past. So instead of think like this can happen again, there are some things that are going to happen as it relates to the end of this era. One of these areas of catastrophe was so great that when God on the sixth day of the book of Genesis created a man and a woman to start off the Torah race over 600,000 years ago, that in this instance God said, now you multiply and repopulate the earth, demonstrating it had been populated and needed to repopulate. It was rather thin at the present time. This had nothing to do with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were an issue which God established later because continued Luciferian influence was still keeping with his satanic design, an attempt to take over the earth. In these policies of this attempt to take over and destroy, mongrelize, integrate, mutate, and destroy everything which was in its natural order, we discover that God Almighty sent his own race, his own household, Adamic, embodied into the earth. And God established then as his own issue, Balaam, a Hebrew, Adam. And he took out of Adam a portion from which he produced Eve, that they might be one flesh, and said, behold, there was no Adamite to till the soil. But after, on the seventh day, God placed Adam in the earth. There were Adamites and white men. And from that time on, you've had 7,400 years of the rise and history of your race, also involving its first violation of divine law, not outside of the perimeter of divine foreknowledge, and without the grace of God, who loved your household as his own, and protected and preserved it by his own plan. You are a part of the divine plan of the Most High God to overthrow darkness, to lift up a divine standard, and to accomplish great victory in the earth. Now I point out to you that since the Adamic race has been here, there have been several areas of great catastrophe. One of these areas of catastrophe, of course, were leveled against the attempt of monsters and giants on a simulatable offspring of fallen angels and these strange monsters of the sixth chapter of Genesis that in the upper Tarim Basin tried to destroy your race. It was this area where Noah was warned on how to preserve his society, and he did. How the catastrophes of the great underground sea swallowing up in the great earthquakes the land, of the intense patterns of storm, and the periods of inundation for the upper Tarim Basin. The word in the book of Hebrew is Arach, meaning all that place. All the time that flood was going on, that 120 days, there was nothing happening in South America where the Maya lived, nothing happening in Egypt where the Egyptians lived, and it did not affect the continent of Africa at all. Most of Europe was not affected by the same seismic and unusual measures of judgment that at that time fell upon the areas of the Tarim Basin. And when God had completed what he wanted as a judgment against these mongrelized, unassimilatable forces that were seeking to swallow up the race, his earthquake cracked great cataracts in the great wall of the Tarim Basin, and waters went towards the levels of Asia, where one of the areas of runoff was down the Wangho Rivers, and the other line through the Tarim Basin empties down into Mesopotamia. And this is why the history of that flood brought the waters to 69 feet in Ur of the Chaldees as it came through the cataracts and didn't even touch the high hills of ancient Ur. In fact, when Dr. Francis Woolley did his great work and research concerning Ur of the Chaldees, he found that flood waters that came from descending and cascading waters from Upper Asia that swept by reached 69 feet, and its levels and marks are still to be found upon the areas of the ruins of ancient Ur. Now we point out to you that another catastrophe took place. This catastrophe was in the areas of the Exodus. It was at the time that God sent Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let your race free. The oppressive roots of false and pagan priests under satanic and evil Yehudim, which are the same people you call Jews, not Israelites, had no relationship to them, but were involved in their dark priesthood persecuting the peoples of your race who were dwelling in the land of Goshen. a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, according to the scripture, was in power. He led his ear to these priests of Set and Thoth, and the persecution that ended with the leadership of Moses and the pattern of his divine guided history, in which when the hour of Exodus came, great catastrophes fell upon Egypt. You remember that Moses was God's spokesman that went to Pharaoh and told him to let these people go. God says, let my people go. He wasn't talking about the Jews, he's talking about you. More than this, at that time, your forebears then requested that they be released. Their agreement and contract had been violated by Egypt. They had never been prisoners, and now they had been made slaves. When this Pharaoh refused to let your people go, your technology, your superior craft, your knowledge, your wisdom were those which they wished to harness and use. But under the pattern of Moses' declaration, when Pharaoh's heart became hardened, catastrophe struck. The tremendous events that produced these conditions of the Exodus were caused by a comet that moved into your solar system, whose timing was right, whose grievous murrain and whose debris that fell upon the earth and whose impact upon the earth, which filled our sky with meteors, debris, and impact, so affected the earth that for 40 years, dust and debris in space left it neither light nor dark. And this wasn't just recorded in Egypt. This was recorded by the Maya. This is recorded, my friends, by the peoples of China. And all over the earth, the records of this 40 years of dust, debris, of meteors, and catastrophe. This, my friends, also marks the coming of Venus into our solar system, which finally stayed to remain on the planetary charts of nations, and also to be observed by observers as now one of the permanent wanderers of Earth. And the material of its tail was absorbed in the areas of our orbit and scattered across the heavens. We point out to you that in these records, that was quite a catastrophe. And then we can go back to some several centuries thereafter, where continued patterns of this debris and the alignment balance of the shifting of this planet finally parted its position in the solar system, caused another wave of catastrophes that in the days of King Uzziah produced not only one of the greatest earthquakes on the face of the earth, but areas of phenomena that have been reported affecting other parts of the earth as well. Now, when we talk about this, there has been one catastrophe which we do not find too involved as far as the location of our race, but in the days of Peleg, according to the scripture, we have a period when it says the earth was divided. Pure earthquakes and great seismic disturbance caused by the imbalance of this comet, which later entered our planetary system, caused such changes that land bridges at Bering Strait, land bridges that were up in the North Sea, were broken. These traditional land bridges that are on the charts of ancient Sumerians not only collapsed and were eliminated, but they separated areas into now new existing continents without even an isthmus connection. The Bering Strait, which is separating you from Siberia, had its final division at that time. But within the memory of tradition, we discover that Indians talked about how Eskimos and others, they walked across the land masses between what we now know as Siberia and Alaska to come down into the Western Hemisphere. But they no longer were able to do this, of course, after the dividing of the earth by these earthquakes and seismic disturbances, which the scripture tells you happened in the days of Peleg. Now we point unto you that the forces of darkness, all the powers of evil, have witnessed the rise in the last few centuries of the height of attainment of this race of God's children, these people that start with Adam and come down through Seth and through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and whose offspring have produced the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic peoples. And out of this culture of civilization, to which people the Messiah came, and to which people with messianic identity they have accepted as the embodiment of their God. Your historical racial faith is Christianity, the worship of one God, and the recognition of his embodiment as the man Christ Jesus. If you don't like this faith, then leave our race because you're an abomination to it. We point out to you that the racial solidarity of the household of God is also based upon a knowledge of its origin and a trusting faith in this deity that controls the universe and works these things for effectual good. Every once in a while, someone said, what about the terrible catastrophe of wiping out so many thousands of these people? Well, the ones that move into the areas of catastrophe are the unassimilatable offspring of fallen angels who belong back in the dimension from whence their beings were originated and don't belong in earth to carry out the areas of catastrophe. There are beings here that don't belong here and belong back where they came from, and this is one of the things that inevitably is going to take place. Don't be shedding crocodile tears for destroyers of earth whose tyrannical processes keep the earth in pain. I point out to you also that we have reached the climactic period. If one wants to look back on a courageous people, whose migrations in history build up the background of your race, and their design and their imperative feelings and moods which were involved in exploration, the colonization of this great continent, and then the developing from these colonies in the areas in which, again, this evil third person steps in, this satanic conspiracy of the Rothschild, this design to enact tremendous taxation and to destroy the economic life of new colonies that ends with this revolutionary war, the creation of Manasseh's new freedom, the outstretched wings of the American Eagle. And out of it, the birth of a nation whose constitution and whose Bill of Rights was to guarantee to these many peoples out of the great race of which we were a part, the greatest constructive pattern of liberty, freedom, and initiative the world ever saw. I do not have to take time tonight in this discourse to prove to you that the unassimilatable forces of Antichrist and of evil, together with the political philosophies of communism, socialism, and all the areas of disintegration, are waging a sociological warfare against your race, a political and economic one. They have sought to enmesh, and you have helped to create, by being taken in, the great conspiracy of the United Nations. They are seeking to envelop you in socialism, and while you fight communism, you succumb to its doctrines. They are seeking by decrees to set aside your Bill of Rights. They are seeking by autocratic decisions of chief executives to write into the Federal Register's laws to supersede your congressional powers of balance with their legislative field and to eliminate from you your areas of defending yourself. They have decided to deliver you as vassals under their power into the hands of your enemy to end the kingdom of God, to ring down the night, but they are working without a proper balance that the Most High God has this whole day in reckoning in the areas of prophecy as described it, intends to charge his people to resistance, to immunize them with power, and to drive the powers of darkness from this land. In the midst of such upheaval, the very earth will vibrate, shake and move and shift again. The symbols of world's impact are upon us, and the signs of great change, even now in the surface of the earth, are becoming again visible. This does not mean you don't do anything about it. You move with great patriotic Christian determination to eliminate from your land the forces of darkness. You engage in political and social and economic patterns of conflict with the enemy. You lift up a divine standard, and without doubt you move ahead. Don't let anyone say that the children of the kingdom and those that know their identity and lift up a Christian standard are pacifists. We are not pacifists. We are willing to lock with Satan and drive him from our nation. Now let me point out to you the significance of events. We are not only moving into areas of great alignment, but as we pointed out to you, the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, which took place, as you know, February of 1962. And in this hour of measure, when these signs appeared in the sky, and we passed this great hour of the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, the lineup of the planets in the proper alignment and in the sign of Aquarius were well marked. When we saw these planets marching into exact alignment, as prophesied by Enoch 5,000 years before Christ, as God had made this clear, this would be the sign of the climax of an age in which the powers of darkness would be challenged, that God's hand of intervention, spiritual quickening, charging of his people would take place, to be followed by all areas of divine intervention, the great forces of heaven, the great movement in the earth. And these things are in motion. We're not going to take the time to measure for you the process of alignment, which by astronomical pattern can help to measure the areas and indications. These are understood today by meteorologists who are also beginning to measure the relationship of these masses in our solar system to the fault lines of Earth. Under normal areas where there existed no tension, where everything had been at normalcy and balance, and where in the balancing of divine hand had eliminated the outside areas which added to the pressure factor to move faults, there might nothing happen. But you and I have not lived in this period. Since I have dwelt upon the earth in my lifespan, the pressure tensions of the age have built up, the geological balance is demonstrating this, and the astronomical forces brought into play have added to the pressure lines of force in your solar system to produce the alignment measure. This was also known by declaration in the days of Enoch. Now let me clearly point this out to you in this period of time. These seismic measures have quite accurately been called for the areas when earthquakes are most likely and where they're going to be. It can be determined much more closely than people realize, and we'll follow these alignment measures. Now all over the world, all faults in the last year have been in motion more than ever. In fact, last week, the little notice that came in the newspaper that there were tremors along all fault lines in practically every imbalances of power that seem to affect it are building up for what is going to be a tremendous world-shaking earthquake. They tell us that this build-up is unprecedented. Then pressure came upon them, and they sought to tone it down. One moment the press proclaimed it, the next moment fear seizes areas of communication, and they try to say, now, nothing to worry about, not really going to amount to much, you see. After all, it might be 150 years from now, and they think it might be in a few months. They just don't know when and where. The only way you can tell when and where is to measure alignments and follow this pattern and to know that irrespective of where it comes, the Most High God can protect you. Tectonic earthquakes sometimes follow what we call a turbulence that moves in the whole circle of the earth. In this instance, tectonic earthquakes open up and close again. They just don't shift or roll, but great crevices and chasms are opened up in the earth and they close. This, strangely enough, has happened several times in history, and whole armies of the enemies of your race have in the past been swallowed up by such earthquakes. In fact, it wasn't too long ago, in the past century, sometime around the 1680s, that an earthquake happened like that in Owens Valley that went right down through the main street of Lone Pine, California. It just opened it wide up until there was a great chasm, and then it closed up with a bang. Horses running wild across the street in fear were swallowed up, and the earth closed together, leaving just their tails moving, in some instances, above the pavement. The fact is that the town never changed its course. This earthquake happened once. It never happened again. But it frightened people, and there's a graveyard in the areas of North Lone Pine to tell about the casualties that occurred. And on the gravestones are told the story. Tectonic earthquake opened up and shut. When a few years ago the Tehachapi earthquake was caused by the movement of the Bear Mountain Fault, triggered by the off faults from the San Andreas Fault, was building up along the pattern of the cleavage line, finally let go, there opened up in that Bear Mountain a great chasm which is there to this day. In fact, if you go up there, you'll discover that it's over a mile and a half to 2 miles deep, and that there have been some geologists courageous enough to be lowered in bosun chairs down this great crevice to look at the walls of this tremendous display of strata and rock. However, one wants to be sure that they're doing that on the right time and it's not about to close up again. Now, one thing I'll tell you about it, I've never heard of any Jewish investigators going down in one of those chairs. Normal faults do not open and close like this, though the great grinding masses of material, as you can see in Cajon Pass, have been ground and pulverized into these strange and shapely masses of rock by the grinding of these two great fault sides of the earth over past periods of history. We in California live near one of the greatest, most active faults upon the face of the earth that extends from here all the way to Japan under the Pacific Ocean, sprinting off into the Aleutian Islands and going out to sea just above the San Francisco Golden Gate under Stimson Beach. However, my friends, this fault, while it becomes active and has tremendous potential power, the energy of which is hardly within the estimated capacity of man to understand, related to land forces and to normal and natural explosions. More energy in one small tremor is dissipated than the most powerful set of nuclear bombs that have ever been broken upon the face of the earth. However, we cite to you that these fault ranges in Palestine that go through the Mount of Olives and stretch up into its Prong Division, one up into the areas north and east of Turkestan and clear up into Asia, the other split goes out into the Mediterranean Sea and up by the Aegean Sea also and over by the Isle of Crete. This happens to be one of the most active faults on the face of the earth. It triggers to the very heart of the continental system, and when the alignment pattern starts its motion, it affects all Asia. It will shear Palestine, swallowing up whole areas of it into the areas where the Red Sea now exists. There are areas of Palestine that will be totally inundated. Some of its mountains will slide and level off a great plain, and whole areas of that land is about to be destroyed. I can't think of a better place for God to urge these Jews to go live. You say, what do you mean he urges them to do it? Well, there's an impelling force upon the part of these people to try to move down and capture a land that belonged to you. It's a good thing. Someone says, why did God ever let us to get driven out of the land of our inheritance? Well, it's a good thing. You couldn't all live down there anyhow. It's not big enough to take care of any one nation of you. On the other hand, the people that try to get this crossroads of the world with its tremendous wealth in the Dead Sea and all that relate to it are the people that more deserve what's about to happen there than anybody on the face of the earth. Now, I point this out to you tonight. Within the last few weeks, as we've watched the increase in seismic disturbances, other strange things have happened. There have been disturbing earthquakes on the ocean floor. Seven major earthquakes on the ocean floor have been recorded by seismologists of large and heavy proportions, up to as much as 8 magnitude in the last few weeks. There have emerged from the bottom of the oceans creatures that have not been seen on the surface of the earth in thousands of years. prehistoric type of subterranean monsters, some of the most strange, whose bodies have been thrown up on the beaches here and in Australia, that you may have read about in your own newspaper, that the eyes of man have never beheld before alive, and have only found their fossils in strata of the rock. Wondering what subterranean areas of the Nephilim's domain these monsters have come from. Strange, as we talk about these patterns of material, the demonstration in the past that ocean floors rose and moved and surged, the fact that in the last few generations we have watched the increased activity of the Atlantic, and now areas need to be recharted because of new shoals, as a portion of the continent beneath the Atlantic, called Atlantis by Plato and by early Egyptians, is slowly beginning to rise again. We point out to you that there's also strange changes in the earth. The temperatures of the earth are changing somewhat, and we go through cycles of strange intensities of heat. Under these strange patterns, great masses of glacial ice melts. But the strangest thing, all unrelated to the amount of melting glacial ice, which can build up as fast as it melts in chains of years, is the fact that the ocean is getting warmer and warmer, farther and farther to the north. In fact, the unprecedented 74, 75, and 80 degree temperatures of your ocean in the last week are signs of the time. You are living so close to these signs of the time that within a period of the last 10 days, you have had heats higher in California than have ever been registered since white men, Spanish or white men alike, have walked the earth and could measure temperature. So we have watched these unprecedented heat waves, heat that was higher in its intensity than desert heat is in midsummer along the coast and along the beaches. Heat down at your Santa Monica and Long Beach in the period of the last 10 days reached 138 degrees in the sand. And this is something that has never been known in the history of the measuring of sand temperatures in your state. At the same time, unprecedented heat waves hit parts of Europe, and at the same particular pattern, we have gone through cycles of the last 3 years in which cold of intensity hit into areas of Italy that had never known freezing or frost, and all patterns of balance seem to have gone awry. When they attempted to explain this, they said it was caused by meteorological disturbances in the sky and its impact upon the earth and upon the sidereal system. They said that these areas of impact, these changes in electromagnetic flows of force and changes in atmospheric pressure had brought in such intense cold waves that swept down out of the Alps and out of the north that it had virtually placed the areas of Italy in a deep freeze that you'd never have known this type of temperature before. Strangely enough, fishermen who are fishing along our west coast are noting that this great salmon droves of fish who in schools used to come up in greater numbers along the areas around the Columbia River and in the streams between central California and the northern reaches of Washington are now reporting that these same salmon are swimming in the Arctic. And while we're getting salmon, we're only getting what's called the edge of the field, and the salmon are not following what they thought was normal, that they all returned to the streams of their birth, but are now moving into waters that are far north of their normal habitat, and that the waters of the Arctic are warming up with great intensity. Someone said, well, we have a new plot. Yes, there's a new plot. Did you know one of the most fantastic areas of conspiracy that demonstrate that there's a little lacking even in the scientific intellect of certain Russians? The Russians are trying to melt the ice packs of the north, believing that this will raise the water of the oceans and inundate your harbor cities and have great impact upon New York and other of your cities. So much so that actually in Russian papers that are supposed to be scientific treaty, in which I have copy of the material, and it has been printed and it has been discussed, and some people were worried about it, they are scattering areas of coal dust over great masses of ice, thinking that the heated intensity of the light upon this dark area will cause the ice to melt and raise the water at a destructive level all over the earth. This is not only fantastic because most all the glacial fields of the ice of the north has already displaced its weight in the water, and its melting to water will reduce the area that it now fills and in no way raise the surface of the earth's waters. I want you to know tonight, don't let any evangelistic fear be sent upon you by some zealous but uninformed individual who thinks that the melting of the ice caps is going to raise the water surface of the earth, because the areas of the ice already are displacing more material than would be filled by the same amount of water after it melted. We point out to you, however, that this is not the area of change. The area of great change is what's happening actually in the earth, in its subterranean waters, in its ocean temperatures, in its under-ocean boiling volcanoes, in the great new signs of pressure, in the rumblings that come from Etna and Vesuvius, in the rumblings that come in the Pacific Islands. Every volcanic action that has ever taken place in Pacific Islands, it seems to be reactivated, and today they are listening to the deep rumblings in the islands. I received a phone call from the Hawaiian Islands from an editor of a newspaper, and he called and said, "Dr. Swift, I listened to the tape of last January. Do you think that we are about to receive an earthquake that would endanger this island, permit it to split up, would be necessary for me to move my family to safety?" So I point out to you that when editors of newspapers call across the ocean to get information because they are concerned about what's happening, the rumblings, the shakings, and they have remembered the prophecies in the Word, that this is but a symbol that you are in a climactic hour where you can get more evidence and value out of a "Thus saith the Lord" than you can, my friends, out of the Chamber of Commerce that don't want you to know the truth. Let me point this out to you. Significantly tonight, the measures of change and the closeness of an hour of judgment is quite dear. And can you imagine any conditions that would be more essential for such change and chastisement? Here in this greatest nation of God's kingdom, in this great land of the free, we have reached a period where we have a president and his brother in positions of office surrounded by an anti-Christian cabinet that is desiring to integrate your race, mongrelize it, lose its identity, lose the status of a great white Christian country, surrender your sovereignty, move you into a one-world government, disarm you in the hands of your enemies, and then make you unable to resist. Now you can say, can that happen? That's happened all in your lifetime. It's happened all in the last few years. Of course, I personally believe that if the President of the United States, who has been so evilly advised by such bad selections of advisors, were to run tomorrow for President of the United States, he couldn't win. I want to point out to you that this is an unusual year of all kinds of things transpiring. The next few years are involved in this strategy. Spiritual forces are at work, people are waking up, the resistance is building up, and also with it, the tensions and the catalysts of energy with no greater power than mental energy turn loose. With it, the universe is held together. With it, the impacts of transition and change are suddenly catalyzed. Let me point out to you that we are in an unusual year even this year. While far up in areas of British Columbia, they're having midsummer temperatures, but you can't fool the geese and the ducks. They're already on the move. Strangely enough, deer are migrating much more early and without the kind of storms that cause them to migrate. Signs and indications of unprecedented and unusual events in the weather and the conditions are affecting the natural courses of life. Ants are climbing up poles to eat insulation. This may do only under certain circumstances. Some thought that nuclear patterns in the air, that conditions caused by radioactivity have affected the insect world, who seem quite sensitive to this, and that they're eating certain chemical substances that are in the wiring on high tension wires because they need this or somehow immunizes them. But this has only happened in cycles, and it is referred to now as, again, a remarkable thing that suddenly ants are evading high tension lines and are eating this type of insulation where they can. Moreover, in this instance, they have noted that there are unusual procedures taking place, not only among birds and among insects, but this is true in the mountains of Europe and in the Alps, as well as all over. Squirrels, which have been busily storing materials and substance, have been found moving out whole numbers of them out of areas of woods along the seacoast. They have been known to not only be packing their babies, but to come back and to move a little bit at a time both the acorns and all the things they've stored. Frantically, the smaller rodents and the smaller animals are leaving as far from the coast as they can get. Now, someone said, what does this mean? In the European newspapers, they have not attempted to say what it means, but they said some instinctive fear are moving whole areas of animal life away from the seacoast. Well, I think that this may also be related to events that take place. Not only does the Scripture tell you that there will be signs of the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, the pattern of the sunspots, which have been related to balances of electronic disturbance and thus involve also whole areas of storm and have been related in electronic and astrometeorology to the patterns of storm. There are signs of the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Jesus said at the climax of this age. Now remember this. When Jesus talks about the end of an age, he's not talking about the end of the world, but he may be talking about the end of a world order. He's not talking about the end of Christian civilization or the children of his kingdom. He's talking about the day when he says, we've had enough. And the forces that start to move with you are going to not only deliver victory, but are going to devastate whole areas of your enemy's power to destroy or resist. Jesus said that this age would be marked by these signs. We've had them in the stars. We've had the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. We've had the significant patterns of unusual upheaval, of vast motion in the heavens and in space. Objects blocking out the various stars as they pass. Dark objects not reflecting light. Picked up by instruments today in astronomical observatories and upon instruments that are used for detection of forces and motion and sound from space. Far out the areas of space are moving patterns of objects moving towards Earth, and these objects may be and well may carry the beginning of what will be the greatest area of reinforcements the world's ever seen. But there's something going on in space. There's patterns of strange imbalance that is affecting normal evaluations here in our solar system, but the idea is not to let you know anything about it. Unprecedented sightings of objects that are moving around the Earth with disciplined and proper order, guided by intelligent beings and by the host of Michael, are being denied today by competent and well-trained investigators because the government has said you must repudiate the existence of these things because we don't control them. But the thing today is not any longer able to be suppressed. Around the Earth and moving around it are already a part of the fleets of Michael and reinforcements for the kingdom. Negation forces may also be coming out of their layers of darkness, as in the book of Revelation you're told that the forces of Apollyon, the powers of evil, will seek to lock in resistance the supporting strength that will come to your behalf. Do not think that this is a time to roll back the areas of development. It's no time to stop making missiles. It's no time to roll back your defense. Before you is the struggle for the earth. Victory is assured, but doing something about it is your destiny. Now, within this pattern of measure, I tell you this. The scripture tells me that astronomical bodies, some of them dark, will hove into sight and have a tremendous impact. In some areas of the earth where they will hit, the waters will be turned bitter like wormwood, which means almond flavor. This is also accompanied with the destructive patterns of the cyanide of potassium heads recorded on some meteorite masses, and which if fell in certain areas would help to wipe out your enemy, and there'd be no question about it. The very waters turning bitter, it says, would cause men to die, which is the immediate result of any cyanide impact into areas of earth with its dust and with its waters. Revelation tells you that such a measure of catastrophe can happen in the climactic period in which you live. We also point out to you that within the same measure we are told of the things that are about to transpire in this physical universe, of an earthquake of unusual proportions that will affect the coast of the earth, of unusual and unprecedented winds, of high storms, of creation, of the great creative impact of the influences of these astronomical measures and the storms that are accompanying. Jesus said, and Jesus should know because he's going to push the button. He's the one in charge. He's had the control of it. He's measured the balance. And this is what he said. Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. Well, there's no doubt about that. You never saw or heard of an area where there were more heart attacks than there is now. People looking out on the earth, some of them have weak hearts, and some of them are dying for fear, and some of them are dying for sheer worry, looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. Someone said, don't you think we ought to worry? They're about to confiscate our possessions. They're about to socialize us. My friends, there isn't anything you got you can't make again. But your major program of divine operation is to fight the enemy, defeat the enemy, and to move against him, no holds barred, in seeking to destroy the evil. Now I cite to you, Jesus said these signs would be there, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking upon the face of the earth. Why? He said there would be distress among nations, hypertensions, and increasing forces of violence, and it says that the sea and the waves would be roaring, unprecedented storms. These you're about to see as you move into these winter months and of late fall. I point out to you, however, that they steer those hurricanes pretty well. Note that this one that's held the world dancing in fear while it moved across Haiti. I can't think of a more benighted spot of Buddhism and evil for an earth for a great hurricane like this to hit than Haiti. I can't think of anything I'd cry less for than Haiti. But as it moved across Haiti, remember that one of the strangest things about Haiti is that a Christian church has a hard time in Haiti because of Buddhism and witch doctors, and because it hasn't got any cooperation from government or witch doctor whose president in Haiti happens to be a witch doctor. Strangely, in this instance, as this hurricane cut its swath across the earth, it wiped out whole areas and just mowed down buildings and industry and businesses, never touched a church. Went around churches, churches right in the middle of the swath of this hurricane were not touched. That's a good sign. In fact, newspapers said today that superstitious, voodooistic blacks said that seemed as though it just avoided the sign of the cross. Well, that's a good sign. We better lift it up again and run everything out of America that doesn't like it. Then on she came until residents of Florida said that this stroke of the sword of wind was going to hit with great damage Florida. Catastrophe was going to hit this land of God. But it didn't. It just swerved right around and cut a swath right across Castro's Cuba. I think we can say to Michael, bring on the wind angels from the four corners of the earth and let them blow and let them move. For he said, 1,000 can fall at thy side and no harm shall come nigh thee. Better yet, Mr. B, whole areas of measure which we can refer to. Strange rumblings in mountains that have been still. Slight movements and measured movements taking place even on Manhattan Island. And that's the site, you know, of that old United Nations building. That's one of these days going to come down with quite a shattering of glass. Remember, my friends, areas of the earth that they thought were permanently dead and fixed are beginning to show signs and movements again. I'm going to tell you, before you've moved out of this year, devastating earthquakes that are going to hit in the areas of Asia and among the land of your enemies are going to be outstandingly marked, because you are in a cycle. It may run as far as 5 months, but the building up of it, the motion of it, and the alignments of it are for hours of judgment against your enemy. God can wipe out with the flexing of the muscles of earth more armies of the communists, whether they be Chinese or Russian, than infantrymen could take care of in a long time. But don't relax on that. Keep the infantrymen ready, because there are some of them that are going to die on the beaches of the kingdom. Now I point out to you that these are all signs in the end of the age. They're signs that in this hour of the Antichrist, he's attempting to take over. Patterns of integration are continued work. Do not believe and do not listen to all the voices that say, oh, they've got contact. You know, every once in a while, some silly person tries to tell me that the forces that are riding around in the craft around the earth want everybody to move into one common brotherhood, love everybody, and spare the earth from destruction. I happen to have in my hands a copy of a Negro newspaper called the Los Angeles Community News. Now, this is strange. Every single piece in this newspaper is nigger. Every picture, every operation, every story, everything is integration, everything is mongrelization, Martin Luther King, and everything else. But of all things, this building is in the paper. The New Age Cathedral moves to a new location and holds its services here in the morning. Dr. Frank L. Strangis, the president of International Evangelistic Crusade, is now using this in the morning for his great World Brotherhood New Age Cathedral of Love God, Negroes, Jews, Negroes, whites, and all races. Right here. Isn't it strange that out of all the liberal material, in the meantime, he's supposed to be getting the instruction from the voices from above that everybody's to move in into solidarity and community closeness in a one world brotherhood, and that this is the message for the new age. So, let me tell you something. Nobody's talking, my friends, that comes out of the realm of the Most High with any fantastic story like committing this kind of suicide. We better get the place fumigated between meetings. Now I want to point something out to you in this area of unusual and strange things. Remember how we called your attention and were one of the first to sound the alarm on the International Arms Control Act they were putting through in the Congress of the United Nations, the United States, to try to take care of you? To disarm your nation, to put you under the control of Soviet internationalism through United Nations and through their military control of staffs of military level. And we pointed out to you that nothing was more dangerous than this program, and that the Congress was asleep when it voted and passed this International Arms Control Act and joined on this program. Because contained inside of the small print of this act were areas that gave them directive to disarm everybody, to disarm all nations and all people. And while we were spending billions and building up armament, we were actually paying millions for a group of men I call traitors to try to disarm us at the same time. Now in 1962, they continued with this program of holding a symposium, which has more back than you realize. I hold the program, photostat of the program, of the International Arms Control Symposium, sponsored by the University of Michigan in the Bendix System Division. In fact, I have a list here of a great number of executives from major companies whose name I will not read, together with left-wingers from the University of Michigan, executives from industrial corporations like Chrysler, Raytheon, North American Aviation, Douglas Aircraft, Lockheed, General Electric, John's Boyd. You say, what are they working on? They're working with representatives of the United States Arms Control Agency to disarm America, but their plants make their income producing the elements of defense. What kind of reasoning is this? Now, actually, the design of the communists, the Kennedyites, and all of these fuzzy-minded thinkers was to protect themselves from America. They had to disarm the American citizen. Now the second division of the Bill of Rights, it there states that your right to have, own, and bear arms, this is your individual right, it shall not be infringed on. Now listen. The first speaker at this conference was Viktor Karpov, first secretary of the Soviet Embassy. When this document came into my hands a few days ago, with all the documents of all the things that were discussed, the program day after day, and it lasted for several days, morning, afternoon, and evening, I have the whole program and what the design was. And fortunately, a brilliant patriot who belonged to the Minutemen. Some people don't like the Minutemen. I wish there was 100 million of them. In fact, I wish that we had today everybody in the United States and the 149 million people that were adult and capable. I wish they were enrolled in the Minutemen Klan and all the patriotic movements that can march together to save America. Now listen, this one executive was a Minuteman. He made copious notes. They thought he was just one of the elite. And the elite are a group of brainwashed people that have attained great height in their particular profession. And because of their proficiency at the management of an aircraft company or their technological abilities in the area of their field, they are also selected as the elite, capable of deciding for all the world what men should do and how they should live. But of course, they're brainwashed by promises of power, and they're taken into a program of world government ordered and directed by the Antichrist, whether they know it or not. And the first thing they've got to do is disarm you. So this Minuteman, this patriot and executive, took a copy of all the programs, the literature, made copious notes. And now here is the fact that after the election, always after the election, these politicians know you don't dare kick over the water bucket until after election. Now, after election, the thing they're going to do is immediately implement the Area of the Arms Control Agency's program. And don't think this isn't what it meant, because this is what they sat and talked about. To make the world safe for new frontiers and fantastic revolutions by disarming all the citizens of the United States. So what do you mean disarming them? Not just turn the army's weapons over, but only utilize the army against the people, not in defense of the country, but against it. The five northwestern states, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and possibly Utah, will be the first five states which will be surrounded by units and regiments of the United States Army, sealing these areas off until all personal and private firearms have been confiscated. This having been ascertained, together with the ammunition, they will then unseal these states and seal off five more states, and thus continue until the American citizen has been disarmed. Accompanying this fantastic program is an immediate $4 million bestowal of money upon editors and editorial writers who will start showing America how dangerous it is to even have an arm around. Somebody might get shot, children find it, holdups are used with arms and violence, the ball guns were confiscated, nobody had any, everybody be safe and nobody get shot. You'd get stabbed, clubbed, or hacked by a cleaver, but you wouldn't get shot. Now, this is the design of the one world. You say, what's this for? Do they want to save some innocent person from getting shot? Or are they just trying to protect you from the crooks that'll have the weapons anyhow? No, they want to disarm you, the patriotic American, because what they intend to do, they're afraid you won't put up with. And if George Washington's admonition when he retired and when he left office was right, he told you to stay armed so that you wouldn't have to put up with this kind of thing, because if tyrants and traitors tried to take your freedom, he ordered you to sweep them out of the way. happen to know great numbers of sportsmen and great numbers of hunters, but also great numbers of target shooters and arms collectors throughout the nation. And I happen to know that every one of them that heard about this says the only end of my rifle they'll get the front end. One retired law enforcement officer, gray-haired man of brilliance and trust and respected in his community, said, "Well, there just happens that there's not enough men in the United States Army to take these weapons because every one of them will die when he comes for some patriot's weapon." You say you mean the time has come when citizens will resist the law? This isn't law. This is tyranny by decree. I think it's time that across America, that every patriot, that every American would stand for this right, that we will not live under a tyranny that's so afraid of we the people that have never threatened government, that's right or just, that they want to disarm us because of their plans. I would rather dispense with all the Kennedys than one single unit of privately owned arms. Someone says it would help suppress crime. You'd never see a crime wave like would take place in America if the crook knew that he didn't have to worry about any house he entered. They were all disarmed. All they would be creating would be a new type of bootlegger, the gunlegger, you know. The fastest growing industry in America would be gun running, and the fire would be America trying to get back a way to protect itself. No, my friends, the time isn't to wait till after election. The time's to blow the whistle on this and see that there will be no Kennedy election and no one that supports an Arms Control Act to be returned to office in the United States. By the time 1965 has come, the whistle should be blown all over until no one dare invade any area of America to disarm anybody. Now, I think this is rather significant. I'm glad that the circulation came, the documents, the material, the photostats arrived a little over a week ago, was sent to me directly from an area of intelligence that works closely with this ministry and has helped much cutting out its objective. 7 days after this fell in my hands, why, another very responsible document, which is Don Bell's closer-up, came. Now, I've read to you out of the original document. Don Bell recognized the significance of this, too, and has quoted the most important areas of these facts, warning that the design to confiscate and disarm America is part of a red communist conspiracy and had its base in this infamous act that so many thought was innocent. We are glad to have the confirming support of the running down on all the areas of significance by those that surrounded Don Bell also in this report, and we again commend this man for his area of reaching people with the truth. By the time these tapes talk to 2 million Americans in the next few cycles of the next 10 days or so, or more than this, my friends, there's not going to be any part of America where they're not going to know what it's all about, and I'm going to tell you nobody will turn loose like foxes with fire in their tails like the American gun owner. They said that there's some 50 million guns or more in the hands of the people of the United States and an estimated some 30 billion rounds of ammunition. Well, that's a lot of ammunition, and that's not so many guns. I believe there's more than that. And I'm going to point out that that takes a lot of people to gather them up. Someone said, well, people won't be so resistant on this. This is, after all, not so important. It's just the surrender of a piece of property. My friends, it is the final curtain on a free society. Add to this, we want to call your attention to one other area of great danger, a significant sign that is related to the marking of the world's climactic hour. In these United States, we have this accompanying conspiracy called civil rights legislation, which in its various points would confiscate all remaining areas of freedom. I'm going to go over them very fast. We may be repetitious in this, but we want this on this tape. We want this to cross America. For Title I of the civil rights legislation the president wants passed, we give absolute federal control of every local, state, and national election. Federal control of all elections advocates an abolishment of all state rights as the end of liberty in the control of government. Title II regulates all private business establishments by the United States in carrying out its programs of integration with economic power. No more freedom, all business under the hands of a Babylonian evil dictatorship. Number three, it forms a program for desegregation of all schools and prepares for what's referred to as the transport system to create a change in unbalance and move thousands of white students into Negro schools and vice versa by federal decree. Title IV establishes an agency at taxpayers' expense to interfere with all the local affairs of every community and county and to determine the settlement of all racial difficulties. It extends the life of this evil Civil Rights Commission with additional powers. It invests the power in the president to withdraw all aid, government assistance, and finance from any project or anything that relates to financial use of government money, to withdraw aid from all the people's blind, dependent children, or anything else, if the president so desires, to punish or to develop the integration program. More than this, it has absolute control over every bank, over every financial institution, lending agency, or financing agency in the United States in order to implement racial acceptance of integration. Title VII establishes a commission on equal employment, which virtually gives unlimited power to the president to secure the hiring, the locating of minority employment anywhere in the United States. I just call this to you because your congressman should be informed by all intelligent Christians that if he votes for this civil rights program, he might as well stay home. He's not going back. I'm holding in my hands a copy of the Arizona Republic, one of the major Arizona newspapers. This happens to be last Sunday's copy. Barry Goldwater wants Arizona to know where he stands. He said, I want you to know that I will use troops to enforce integration, that I will uphold the decisions of the Supreme Court. They are the law of the land, and I would use all force. I would use military equipment and troops, if necessary, to force people to obey the law of the land, whether it be integration in schools or whatsoever. All right, we don't need Barry Goldwater. We've had enough of this use of troops against the people in violation of state rights. Let every Southerner wake up, too, and let every Republican know you're not going to win with Barry. End of the age, yes. Let's get this one clear. This evil Gesell report that was drawn up by a Sacramento Negro whose name happens to be Nathaniel S. Coley, an NAACP official, and I consider the NAACP just to be a front movement for the world revolution to destroy your Christian civilization, mongrelize your race, and throw you into chaos. All right, in the name of Gerhard A. Gesell, a committee chairman in Washington, the report is named, called for by Mr. Kennedy. It would use the troops of the United States Army not to defend you, but against the citizenry of this nation to enforce integration and acceptance on a social and integrated level of the Negro. Now, violation of state rights and Constitution. A courageous bill known as the Vince's Bill is now prepared in Congress. It's House of Representatives Bill 8460. Now, as a private citizen, I would instruct every intelligent Christian that the Vincent Bill should be supported, that every congressman should be asked to support House of Representatives Bill 8460. This prohibits the implementation of the Gesell Report, the use of troops in social and integrated racial revolution, the use of the troops of the armies of the United States against the citizens of this nation, the release of them to defend this nation, to fulfill their oath of allegiance, and to stand as a wall against our enemies. But it keeps it out of the hands of would-be dictators who create these evil designs. Congress didn't pass a Gesell report. It didn't order it. It didn't accept it. The dictatorship has said we'll follow it, and McNamara takes his orders to implement it, and Yarmolinsky, none other than the left-wing, pro-communist, Harvardite son of red parents, is implementing the order, the man they want to put at the head of the FBI. God save America and the FBI if this left-wing, pro-commie Jew becomes the head of it. All right. Remember this again. House of Representatives, 8460. Every intelligent Christian should write his congressman and say, we want this bill passed. We want to block the power of any of these wild men to use this Gesell power against the people. Let's save America for Christ and for the destiny of God's kingdom. This is your job, and let's wake up. Signs of the angel. The catastrophes, the judgments, the earthquakes, the tidal waves, the sleeping storms will move against the earth, and no harm will come nigh you. But look out for the mollifier and the appeaser and those that make their bed with Babylon, because they can pay the price of the chastisement that will fall.